Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Criminalia, a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Norman Glenwood Baker is in the hot seat today. Baker was an entrepreneur, a pioneering radio personality, and a fake doctor who claimed he could cure cancer. He was a masterful propagandist, and through his radio station, and the general lack of oversight regarding what went out over the airwaves, he manipulated American anxieties about everything from politics to alleged ills of vaccinations. It's said he earned an estimated $10 million, and that's during the Great Depression, before a conviction ended his career in 1940. Welcome to Criminalia. I'm Maria Tremarchi.
And I'm Holly Fry. Born in 1882 in Muscatine, Iowa, Norman was the youngest of 10 children. His father, John Baker, was an engineer who owned the Baker Manufacturing Company in town. But here's what stood out to us about John. He also reportedly had 126 patents to his name, so that man had ideas. Norman's mother, Frances, was a writer before she married. Norman left school at the age of 16, and he began his career in a totally legit manner that actually doesn't suggest the career path he would eventually take. He started working as a machinist. For years, he worked as a tool and die maker. He made his fortune, though, as a vaudeville performer and as the inventor of a whistling mechanical instrument, and by pretending he could cure cancer.
Baker transitioned from his work as a machinist to the vaudeville stage after attending a performance by a Professor Flint, who was surely not at all a professor of anything. Flint's magic show was about, quote, mental suggestion, and it inspired Baker to produce his own version. He had a little bit of a slow start, but his show did catch on with audiences, and he became a hit on the vaudeville circuit.
That show had a successful 4-year run, and it ended only when Baker decided to try a new career path, this time as a musical instrument maker. Baker had a lot of ideas, so the apple may not have fallen far from the tree. Recall, his father had more than 100 patents to his name. Baker brought his new invention to life in his brother's machine shop. It was an air kaleiophone, as he called it. That was a smaller, portable calliope for carnivals and outdoor advertisers. And it was just what it sounds like, a calliope that was powered by compressed air rather than the traditional use of steam to operate it. Through his new business, the Tangley Manufacturing Company, he sold them for $500 in 1914. But an advertisement that appeared a few years later listed its selling price as a smidge over $1,000. There was an audience for his instrument, and he had found it. In 1915, he decided to quit the vaudeville circuit to begin manufacturing the Tangley Kaleiophone full-time. And, not one to sit still, he soon expanded his operations into a mail-order business And through that, he sold everything from his Caliophone to overalls to coffee, live plants, and even bedding. He even sold trained canaries.
His manufacturing and mail order businesses were very successful, and he reportedly made upwards of $200,000 a year. After a fire destroyed the Caliophone factory in Muscatine in 1920, Baker, by all accounts, was devastated. But Baker was also a guy who always saw opportunities. He launched a mail order art business, the Tangley School of Art. As part of this money-making scheme, his students were expected to pay for their classes as well as cover framing costs for their art and any and all other art supplies. His correspondence school was a hit, grossing amounts exceeding $75,000 over 3 years. And the thing about Baker and his school was this. He was totally upfront that he had no artistic ability himself, stating he, quote, couldn't paint to save his life. And yet, he had almost 3,000 students on the books.
A few years later, so that now puts us in 1925, Baker again changed his career. This time, after hearing Shenandoah seedsman Henry Field's radio broadcast. Field built a radio station on top of his seed house, and he had begun broadcasting, quote, country entertainment and information. Henry also used this new medium to market his seed business. Radio, at this point, was a whole new world filled with money-making potential, and Baker took notice.
Let's get a little context on this. Broadcast radio was really pretty new. Pittsburgh's Westinghouse Electric and Manufacturing Company transmitted the first scheduled broadcast on November 2, 1920. They announced the Harding Cox presidential election results. Field owned one of fewer than 300 radio stations in the United States at the time. The call letters his station was assigned were KFNF, or as Field called it, Keep Friendly, Never Frown.
So after hearing Field Station, the next logical step for Baker was that he got himself into radio. He met with the Muscatine Chamber of Commerce and he offered to build a radio station to, quote, popularize Muscatine throughout the world. He also promised that if he built the station, he would promote Muscatine as an investment opportunity for businesses. And the Chamber of Commerce was very happy to oblige his request. Baker postured that his radio station would be a, quote, beacon of light for the masses, the hordes of farmers and laborers and small businessmen, as well as humanity in general. Big promises, yes. He built that station and began broadcasting a lineup of live music, agricultural reports, and shows where he shared his own colorful opinions. The call letters for Baker's new radio station were KTNT, which he turned into the slogan, Know the Naked Truth. His first show aired on Thanksgiving Day of 1925. Radio was really coming into its own. Just a few years later in 1930, more than 45% of American households owned a radio, and that nearly doubled by the end of that decade. More American homes had radios than had telephones.
Baker timed his personal show as part of the evening broadcast, specifically targeting the time when most families would be sitting down to dinner and listening to the radio. He didn't just talk to his audience. He preached to them. His anti-establishment populist messages were also full of anti-intellectual, anti-Semitic, and anti-Catholic rantings. Baker was a guy who saw conspiracies in everything. His business competitors and local newspapers were publishing lies about him, so he claimed, in an attempt to shut down, quote, the truth. People loved it, though. They loved him. He took on a new character, a hero for Muscatine's workers. Baker was riding this high, and then gained even greater prestige when he broadcast on behalf of Herbert Hoover's 1928 presidential campaign. Hoover, of course we know, won that election. After Hoover later credited Baker for helping him win the Midwest, Baker visited the White House, and Hoover participated in a publicity stunt for Baker by ceremoniously kicking off a new publication, Baker's tabloid newspaper, the Midwest Free Press.
Scores of radio stations began popping up, and it seemed like they all had a quack salesman ready to sell you something. WAM in Newark, New Jersey, for instance, regularly advertised junk contraptions such as the Theranoid, which was basically a clone of another quack device called the Ionico. These products were essentially electric belts and allegedly could cure everything from asthma to sciatica to varicose veins. That allegedly is doing the heavy lifting. They couldn't do any of that. There was a new growing problem afoot. Fraudulent medical advertising was becoming super prevalent on the radio.
On the air, Baker didn't hesitate to quite regularly use his station as a platform to disparage both organizations and individuals with whom he disagreed. Despite having never received any medical training or formal education, he lectured on things like the negative effects of fluoridation on drinking water, that aluminum pots and pans were toxic, and that vaccinations were worthless and were a plot by doctors to fleece innocent people. In fact, his anti-vaccination broadcasts set off what was known as the Cow War, ultimately exposing just how popular he was and just how much influence he had. The Cow War was this. During an outbreak of bovine tuberculosis in the Midwest, Baker claimed to his radio audience that the newly mandated TB testing of cattle was really a conspiracy by veterinarians and stated that they were falsifying positive test results in order to steal, then sell, perfectly healthy cattle from local farmers. He convinced enough ranchers this was true, and the town literally, with violence and intimidation, ran its veterinarians out. It took the state militia to put things to an end. Baker, it was clear, had a persuasive voice.
We're going to take a break for a word from our sponsors. Remember how we said that Baker claimed he could cure cancer? When we're back, we will talk about Baker's first cancer center and why he ended up leaving Iowa. Hey, everybody, it's Holly. Listen, I've been doing stuff on stage since I was a kid, which means that I have been doing my makeup since I was a kid. And I can turn out a look when I need to, but on my day-to-day, I really like to keep it a little more relaxed and low-key. I don't have time for a full face most of the time. But that also means that Thrive Cosmetics can have me covered no matter what I'm doing, whether I'm doing something on stage, like I have an appearance or a live show, or I'm just running to the grocery store. Something in their line is perfect. And what I really love and what's important to me is that they are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free. And to me, cruelty-free is very important in the cosmetics I use. I mentioned that I've been doing my makeup for a long time. I've gotten older in that time. And one of the things that I've done to refresh my look is switch over to their Brilliant Eye Brighteners and use something like a rose gold shade to really like go all around my eye and then just blend it out and get a daytime smoky look. It makes me look a little more youthful and more refreshed. And it's just easy as pie. And it means that I don't have to mess with a whole ton of products. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/criminalia. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/criminalia for 10% off your first order. This episode is brought to you by Simply Safe. Listen, you listen to true crime podcasts. You know that the world can be dangerous and unpredictable and that there will unfortunately be people who want to hurt each other. And so it's kind of nice to get a little peace of mind by having a good home security system. Just take a few precautions, and I recommend looking at Simply Safe Home Security. I've had my home broken into in the past, and it was a terrible feeling, even though nothing that bad really happened. Aside from an intruder, I just really like knowing that I have a security setup that lets me check in on my pets when I'm not home. That is a huge peace of mind giver when I am out traveling. Simply Safe sent me a whole home security system, and I was really, really impressed by the variety of indoor and outdoor cameras they offer. And the whole thing is backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day. Get 20% off any new Simply Safe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplysafe.com/criminalia. That's simplysafe, S-I-M-P-L-I-S-A-F-E SimpliSafe.com/criminalia. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Welcome back to Criminalia. Let's talk about Baker's entrance into snake oil cancer treatments and what happened during his first run-in with the American Medical Association.
Baker had created one of the most popular radio stations in the country. He was allowed 500 watts of power for it, but like most other stations, he consistently and illegally broadcast at 10,000 watts. And at 10,000 watts, his signal could be heard in upwards of a million homes. And then when inspectors came around, and that was rare, he just dialed things back down until they left. On the weekends, though, huge numbers of people, we're talking into the thousands, would visit the KTNT grounds to listen to Baker's broadcast. It's estimated that the largest crowd once grew to roughly 50,000 people, so imagine this. For perspective, Madison Square Garden in Midtown Manhattan has a seating capacity of roughly 20,000 people, and that is a lot. So this is more than twice that. This popularity translated into a lot of money for Baker. On an average summer Sunday, while his devoted audience picnicked outside the radio station, KTNT, Baker's various businesses would take in about $3,000. That's more than $50,000 in today's money, and that was just in one day.
Getting into radio was really career-changing for Baker, and he used his station as a mouthpiece to rail against big business and the government, claiming they were conspiring to cover up, well, a whole lot of stuff. And then there was the American Medical Association. The AMA didn't like Baker very much because of the false or questionable medical information he spouted during his popular broadcasts. Of many things, he once accused the local university hospital of being a, quote, slaughterhouse. He didn't care for the AMA either. He frequently accused the organization of having a cure for cancer that they kept secret in order for doctors to make more money on surgeries and radiation treatments.
It's what came next in Baker's career path that began his ultimate downfall. And let's be clear, it truly made him a level 50 charlatan scumbag. In the late 1920s, Baker began using his station to promote bogus cancer cures and medical advice. He had met a man named Charles Ozias of Kansas City, and that was a man who allegedly discovered a cure for cancer. Ozias was operating a hospital, a so-called hospital called the Ozias Clinic, and soon thereafter, so was Baker. His hospital, the Baker Institute, would be his first, but not his last. It operated out of 407 East Front Street in Muscatine, and upon opening its doors, he advertised that it would, quote, be more popular than Rochester, Minnesota. That was a nod to the success of the Mayo Clinic, which opened in the fall of 1889. Baker, using the so-called cure that he had pretty much stolen from fellow charlatan Ozias, called his treatment Formula 5. Formula 5 was designed to be administered by injection at the site of the cancer tumor up to 7 times a day. The American Medical Association claimed that Baker's so-called cure was nothing but a, quote, quack concoction. And they were not wrong, and we will get to those ingredients in a minute.
Together, Baker and Ozias offered to treat 5 volunteer patients, free of charge, to prove the treatment worked. Baker's brand new tabloid magazine called The Naked Truth, or TNT for continuity with his radio station's call letters, would then publish the study's findings in the December issue of that year.
And they did publish those findings, but in a really horrifying way. After the first patient in the study died in November of 1929, Baker's TNT magazine published as planned in December, but with a front page headline falsely stating, quote, cancer is cured. In December, the month of publication, a second of the five patients died. A third and fourth died in January and February. In March of 1930, Baker reprinted that December issue of TNT, the issue that described the amazing recovery of all five of his volunteers. He didn't update it. He didn't change a word. The fifth and final patient died a few months later in May, and after that, Baker once again reprinted that December issue with no changes. There was never any mention of those patients dying.
There are today receipts remaining from patients using his so-called cures. In addition to being in cahoots with Azias, Baker promoted Harry Hoxie's cancer-curing shtick, and Hoxie, who was also from Muscatine, may have spent time providing treatments at the Baker Institute. Hoxie's so-called cancer cure included herbal tonics and restrictive diets. The books at the Baker Institute started with $1,380 in October of 1929 and had reached more than $75,000 by June of 1930.
But the American Medical Association's weekly journal for doctors and its monthly publication for everybody, called Hygieia, began targeting Baker and his dishonest medical ideas and practices. Their campaign against him did have the desired effect. His receipts from patients dropped off, and by January of 1931, funds at the Institute were down to $7,000. The AMA also lobbied the government to stop his radio broadcasts. And on June 5, 1931, Baker lost his broadcasting license on the grounds of, quote, vulgarity, immorality, or indecency. KTNT closed.
On top of that, the Iowa Supreme Court issued an injunction against him from practicing medicine without a license. In 1932, he went to trial, and things went against Baker. The case against him had a lot of damning evidence, but what sealed the deal was a former employee of Baker's Institute who testified that his cancer cure was nothing more than, quote, a mixture of clover, corn silk, watermelon seed, and water. His so-called hospital was ordered closed down.
Baker responded to the AMA by verbally attacking Dr. Morris Fishbein's Jewish faith. Morris was an American physician and the editor of the Journal of the American Medical Association, and he wanted Baker investigated for making false medical statements, over the radio, in his printed promotional materials, and to patients. Baker sued the AMA for $500,000 in damages, charging libel, claiming that they had called him on various occasions a quack, a faker, and a charlatan. And honestly, they had, but he still lost the suit. Because they were right. None of the things they said about him were false. Baker, who was seeking to become governor of Iowa, also lost that bid, and then he got out of town.
In 1932, the Federal Radio Commission, which later became the Federal Communications Commission, or FCC, finally had success removing from the airwaves all the fortune tellers, mystics, seers, and peddlers of dubious claims and devices. Despite the measure, though, there was still concern about what was fit to air and how to enforce rules about truth in advertising. In 1936, the AMA published that, quote, no adequate and prompt measures are as yet available to curb venal radio stations from selling time to anyone who pays the price.
When regulators did catch up with on-air fraudsters, the fraudsters just got creative. Known as, quote, border blasters, many set up towers and transmitters in the small towns just south of the United States-Mexico border. And broadcasting from Mexico, they had reach beyond the regulations in the United States. Baker took to the airwaves once again, but this time he broadcast under the call letters XENT out of Nuevo Laredo, Mexico, on the banks of the Rio Grande, across the river from Laredo, Texas.
We are going to take a break for a word from our sponsors. When we're back, we will follow Baker into Arkansas, where he opened his second hospital.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Welcome back to Criminalia. Let's talk about the Baker Cancer Curable Hospital and why you should be very careful about what shady things you send through the mail.
Let's talk about Norman Baker's move from Iowa to Arkansas. But no, wait, first, let's talk about Norman Baker, the man who moved to Arkansas. Baker is described as having dressed flamboyantly, always in a suit and tie. In the summer, he wore a white suit and matching shoes, a lilac shirt, and lavender tie, while in the colder months, he donned dark, chalk-striped three-piece suits, also with his signature lilac shirts and lavender ties. He wore a gold and diamond horseshoe stick pin and a watch fob, quote, heavy as an anchor chain. He's also described as, quote, conventionally handsome, sharp-featured, and clear-eyed. Confidence-inspiring, straight out of a B-movie casting call, with a well-cut head of distinguished gray hair and a strong jaw. At a time when most people couldn't afford to own a car, he drove a hand-hammered, coach-built, luxury Cord automobile that was custom-painted in purple. Excuse us. Electric lavender.
In July of 1937, Baker rolled into Eureka Springs, Arkansas, having purchased the Crescent Hotel at 75 Prospect Avenue. This is where he operated the Baker Cancer Curable Hospital from 1937 to 1939. Known as the Grand Old Lady of the Ozarks, the history of the Crescent Hotel is long. It was a great Victorian landmark, but had begun to fade with neglect when Baker bought it. When the Crescent Hotel opened on May 20th, 1886, a local newspaper called it, quote, America's most luxurious resort hotel. It was a hotel and spa known for its healing waters before it was purchased by the Frisco Railroad Company in 1905. In 1908, the exclusive Crescent College and Conservatory for Young Women opened there for educating, quote, fine young ladies. And then after the school closed in 1934, the hotel resumed operation, but only during the summer months.
As its new owner, Baker made extensive modifications to the old hotel before opening his hospital's doors. He painted virtually everything his signature color, lavender. The polychrome lobby, though, was decorated in red, yellow, orange, and black, and it shouldn't surprise any of us that there was a caliphone on the roof. He also built a room that acted as a morgue in the building's basement, where it's said that Baker conducted autopsies and also experimental post-mortem surgeries. Now, again, he was doing all of this with zero medical training.
He hired chiropractors, osteopaths, and physicians, all from diploma mills, meaning that, like him, they were fakes. Baker also began recruiting cancer patients for his 100-bed hospital. He seamlessly applied his dramatic and energetic vaudevillian skills to patent medicine and used both his radio station and his tabloid publications to promote his hospital and his so-called cure. He had clever and ambitious synergies going on among his businesses. Baker nationally advertised his hospital's strict regimen of fresh air, healthy food, and exercise as the basis for his cancer treatments. But for his patients at the hospital, he also had an elixir that, frankly, consisted of nothing at all helpful against cancer. Formula 5 rears its head again, and he promised that you would be cured in just 6 weeks, and he made a fortune treating many sick and very desperate people.
Baker used his XENT radio platform to promote the hospital across the United States. He was dismissive when it came to real medical professionals and regularly referred to surgeons as, quote, cutters. Advertisements and brochures for his hospital clearly stated that, quote, we cure cancer tumor without operation, radium, or X-ray. We do not cut any organ. While it's true they did not use surgery, radium, or X-ray, the curing cancer part of that statement is most definitely a lie. It's a lie that got him sent to prison, but in a circuitous kind of way, because of mail fraud.
Mail fraud? You may be wondering, isn't this a story about a man who claimed to have a cure for cancer and didn't? And it turns out, two things can be true at once. Yes to both. Baker used unethical practices in acquiring his patients. And in addition to promotions from his radio show, he used colorful mailers and brochures as promotional tools. And in them, he described Eureka Springs, situated in the Ozark Mountains, as the, quote, Switzerland of America, for instance. And it was all under the optimistic campaign, quote, where sick folks get well, and promised that cancer could be cured with Baker's treatment. These campaigns got him into trouble with the United States Postal Inspectors. As we have mentioned before on the show, don't mess with postal inspectors. In September of 1939, Baker surrendered to United States Marshals on a federal indictment charging him with using the mails to defraud. Specifically, quote, mails were used fraudulently in connection with a plan to obtain money for a cancer cure. And there's your mail fraud.
Baker was freed on a $10,000 bond. 5 members of his staff were indicted with him and were released on bonds of $1,000 each. During the trial, Assistant United States Attorney Leon Catlett quoted Baker as having stated that he would, quote, reap $1 million out of the suckers in this state. The jury found Baker guilty. He was fined $4,000 and was imprisoned from March of 1941 to July of 1944 at the federal penitentiary at Leavenworth, Kansas. After his release, he moved on, but this time not to a new business. He moved onto a 3-story yacht in Florida. He died there on September 8, 1958.
Unsurprisingly, Baker's cancer-curable hospital patients were not cured. Most of them died. Today, Jack Moyer, the general manager and vice president of what is now, again, the Crescent Hotel, has stated, quote, Baker was a charlatan, touting that he had the cure to cancer. Obviously, that proved not to be the case. The former hospital has since been called, quote, America's most haunted hotel, and some of those alleged apparitions are considered by many people to be Baker's ailing patients. If that's your sort of thing, that hotel offers ghost tours. And in 2019, there was a surprise discovery. A pile of old glass bottles was found buried in the woods near the hotel. Many of those bottles were broken, as you may imagine, after 100 years. Some of them were filled with alcohol, and some still had little bits of unidentified tissue floating in them. More than 500 bottles were taken for analysis by the Arkansas Archaeological Survey and the Crime Lab, and testing for what they actually contain is ongoing.
Regardless of his motive for selling a fraudulent cancer cure, Baker's claims resulted in tragic deaths and robbed cancer patients of the opportunity of receiving potentially life-saving therapies by genuine medical professionals. And while, yes, there were limited options for cancer patients in the 1930s, there were some options, including surgery or a primitive radiotherapy, but definitely not watermelon seeds. They won't cure what ails you.
They will not, but you can drink something yummy and it might make you slightly less full of ire at Norman Baker, who was a lying liar who lies.
Pants on fire.
I debated over what to call this drink.
Little bits of flesh.
I wanted to call it Electric Lavender.
Because that's great.
But it turned a less lavender and a more pink color as I was working. We're calling it Formula 5. We'll name it after his thing. And this one will not cure anything, but it is full of antioxidants, and who doesn't love that? This one, listen, if you, like me, have been taken in by the tiny USB-C chargeable single-serving blenders, this is a great time to whip it out. Because it's going to start with a half to three-quarters of a cup of watermelon chunks. You actually want seedless watermelon here because you want it nice and smooth. And you're going to put those in that blender. And the reason why there's that much variation in the amount is it's whatever your blender will fit. And then to that, you are going to pour 3/4 ounce of lemon juice, 1/2 ounce of creme de violette, 1/4 ounce of agave syrup, or you can use simple syrup, and then 1.5 ounces of indigo gin. My favorite brand of indigo gin is Empress. If you can't find indigo gin, this is not a problem because you can make your own. You can use whatever gin you have on hand. Take about 4 ounces of it and put in a tea bag of butterfly pea flower tea, and it will turn that thing indigo in less than 30 minutes. You can put I like to put it in a little mason jar and just give it a shake every few minutes, and you'll see how quickly it really turns a dark color. We kind of want that as the base to give it that little tinge of lavender in a nod to Baker, even though we hate him. And so you are going to blend all of these things together. Give them a good blend. If you don't have a tiny blender, that's fine. It works just great in a big blender. We're not straining this either. I want you to have all of that texture that you get from the watermelon. And because you're in a blender and because of all the ingredients together, it gets really frothy. And when you pour it out into a chilled coupe, you can use whatever you want, but you do want that glass to be cold. It looks almost like you have made a drink with something pink and egg white, but there's no egg white in it, but it gets really frothy and beautiful, like an egg white drink. So it has that not quite the same silky mouthfeel. There's a different texture, but it's really beautiful and so delicious. A little dangerous. You cannot taste any of the alcohol. As always, drink responsibly, but really be careful with this one, especially if you make it for someone else. Make clear to them that they're are 2 ounces of alcohol in it, because it doesn't taste like it. This Formula 5, we want to drink all the time. I want to batch it and make it for everyone who ever comes to my house. This is a very easy one to sub out to do your mocktail with, because in lieu of your indigo gin, you're just going to make a cup of butterfly pea flower tea. And that works great. And again, you'll use 1.5 ounces of it, so you'll have extra after you make your cup. And then instead of creme de violette, you just need 1/2 ounce of violet syrup, which is easy enough to get. And it is also very delicious. And that one you can chug all day because there's nothing going to hurt you in there and it's not going to get you intoxicated. Although you may feel puffy if you drink that much of anything. That is the Formula 5. You're getting fiber. You're getting right? Antioxidants. Delicious.
Baker suggests that you have it 7 times a day.
That's the problem. I could probably drink that 7. Don't drink 7 drinks a day.
No, maybe the mocktail.
You don't want
version.
To explain that to your doctor when they ask after it. How frequently do you drink? 7 times a day.
But it's watermelon. So it's for my health.
For my health. Don't do that. Don't do it. But I understand the temptation because this is really delicious. And as we are starting to get into later spring and looking at summer, this is one that's going to be in heavy rotation at my house because yum. And I love watermelon everything. We've had more than usual gin occurrences so far this season. Don't worry, we'll switch it up, I promise. We are so grateful that you spent this time with us talking about charlatan Norman Baker, who makes us very irate and hopefully entertained you and didn't make you too mad, especially with a yummy drink at the end. We'll be right back here next week with more snake oil and more drinks.
Criminalia is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, please visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.